Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I don't know who sets the worship center temperature, but why does it have to be so cold?
Why do you have to be so right? Heated chairs are now being installed.
This one wants a small church, but I'm afraid if it's too small, they're going to make me volunteer like crazy. And I don't stack chairs, do I?
Makes total sense. Join now and we'll let you decide the size of our church.
We're millennials, and we want a church that...
Say no more. Any requests you have will be granted immediately.
Parking is horrible. It takes me almost 6 minutes to get from my car to the building. Ugh.
It's going to take me 6 seconds to tell you a valet service is on the way.
My pastor's preaching, it's all over the map. I say, oh, I don't know, stick with the books of the Bible. We should be only exegetical.
Okay, next week we start John chapter 1, verse 1. And we'll even start pronouncing that word the way you said it.
Hey, I'd like this sermon to be no longer than 30 minutes.
How does 15 minutes sound?
Hey, anybody willing to go 15 should be willing to go to 10.
You drive a hard bargain. But from now on, 5-minute sermons it is.
Now you're talking.
Me Church, where it's all about you.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Lifeway. Good morning, Lifeway Live. Are y'all ready for that 5-minute message today? I don't know that I can keep it to 5 minutes, but I will try to keep it as short as possible so I'm respectful of your time, right? I guess that's the idea there. Man, wouldn't it be nice to find that church, the Me Church, where it's all about you? Now, how many of y'all are in favor of that heated seat idea? Okay, I could go for that. I could sit there and have some heated seats out there. That would be nice. Maybe a little like a massage chair. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, that's what we're talking about. And so, you know, it would be nice to find that church, right? Because it's just terrible being at a church where it's not all about you. You know, where your favorite song isn't played like every Sunday. Where you can't find the coffee creamer, the flavor that you like, your favorite. They don't serve it, and so you're kind of upset about that. Where the preacher is more concerned about preaching God's word than just like making you feel good. And it's terrible to be in a church where they ask you to volunteer to help grow God's kingdom, isn't it? That's just terrible. Well, it turns out that the New Testament has to say a lot about church, and what you will not find in the New Testament is you will not find a Me Church where it's all about you. And so we're talking about church today. We're going to discuss that. We're going to specifically talk about church membership. So we need to kind of find define the term church. What is a church? Well, is it a building? What do y'all think? Y'all say no. Okay, so it's not a building. It's not a place where you meet. Isn't it an event? You know, have you ever said this? I'm going to church on Sunday. Have you ever said that? Okay, I've said it. So kind of sets it up as if it was an event, like you're going to, like I'm going to the concert Saturday. All right, so it's not an event. Is church a place where your needs are met? It's kind of a tricky one here. What do y'all think? Sometimes. Okay? Now, if you only go to church to have your needs met, what's that kind of look like? The Me Church, right? And so sometimes your needs may be met, but you also should come ready to serve and meet other people's needs as well. So you know, that and it's not exactly. Well, I know church is a place for perfect people, right? Church is a place for perfect people. And as Glenn says, if that's the case, me and him, the two of us, we would be very lonely, wouldn't we? And I'll just leave Glenn in that because I'm not a perfect person, so you got to count me out too. But is a church a place for perfect people? No, it's a place for imperfect people. In fact, there's a saying that if you find a perfect church, do not join it, because you will mess it up. Why? Because you're imperfect. By the way, you're not going to find a perfect church. I mean, the Lord, when he was on the earth, he had, you know, his disciples, and even one of his disciples was not a saved person. Judas, remember that guy? So you're not going to find the perfect church. You see, in the New Testament, church is described as a group of baptized believers that have covenanted together to carry out the Great Commission. The term in the New Testament was used to describe an assembly of people, a called out assembly. That's the way this term was used in the New Testament. It was already in their language at the time. And so that's the way they used it, this called out assembly. And so this called out assembly would meet together to do something. And so today we are this called out assembly here at Lifeway, and we meet together to worship God, to proclaim His truths, and to share the gospel with everyone who needs it. That's what a church is and what a church should do. So we've kind of answered the question as to what a church is. Now what we want to deal with is that part of it where it says, you're going to come together. You're covenanting together. You're making that promise, that pact with each other. We're going to talk about church membership. So what does this mean? What is church membership? And so an important question to answer very quickly is this. Does the New Testament teach church membership? Well, if you try to turn in your Bible and you're going to find a specific scripture that says, thou shalt join a church, you're not going to find it. Why is that? Because it's not there. It's not there. That specific, command like that. But what you do see in the New Testament is you see this example that were set by the believers, that each one of them were involved in a church at some place. In fact, in the New Testament, you see the church, most of the time it says the church at, and then it will name the location. So it's saying this is where these people assembled at. And then sometimes they assembled in someone's home, and it says that in God's Word. And so that's what we want to answer is, does the New Testament teach church membership? Because if it doesn't teach it, then we don't need to be worried about it, correct? But if the New Testament does teach something that we should do, whether by example or direct command, that's something that we need to worry about and we need to apply to our lives. And so that's what we're going to look at today is, does the New Testament teach church membership? So let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. It says, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, and if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax gatherer. What is he saying here? He's saying if there's a problem between you and a brother or a sister in Christ, you are to go to him. And then you are to bring a few with you to establish the facts of the case. And then if you won't listen to them, you are to bring it to the church. Now, who is the church? The people. And specifically, a group of people who are acting as a church would act. That means they have promised each other to come together to worship Christ, to learn from His teachings, and to carry out the Great Commission. That is what we're talking about here. We're not talking about this church, globally or anything like that. We're talking about an assembly of people. Because if you're going to actually tell it to a institution, as far as, this group of people, you need to know who that group of people is. Okay, you need to know exactly who we're talking about. So that here we have proof in the New Testament, and we're going to look at more, but it says, tell it to the church. And so in order to know who the church is, you're going to have membership. You're going to have these people who have promised that they've come together and agreed to some things. And we'll talk about what we agree to here in just a moment. But let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 through 27, it starts out and says, but now there are many members, but one body. Now, let me kind of give you a little bit of context with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Basically, what's going on here is Paul is telling them how to use spiritual gifts within a church setting. Okay? So that's what he's talking about. So now he's going to use this picture of a body to paint to paint the picture that he's trying to get across to these people. And so he says, but now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Wouldn't that be weird if your body parts talk to each other? Anyways, verse 22, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. I didn't even know that was a word, did you? Whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body. Okay, we're going to talk about this fact in just a few minutes, but unifying, being unified as a body of Christ. He goes on and says, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Here you have Paul using the illustration of a body to make the point of how important it is to be plugged in and part of a body of Christ. Now, I love this, what he says here. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Now, think about your body. You know, some of y'all are at that age when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, right? Okay, and even if you're not at the age when you've stubbed your toe or something like that, you hit your head raising up on something, what's it do? The whole body just kind of aches for just a few moments. Okay? So he's using this illustration of the body to teach us that we need to belong to a New Testament church. If I were to have a leg, just a leg, over here on this side of the stage, and it was standing up on its own, whatever, you know, it's propped up there, would you look at that leg and say, ooh, that's a nice body? Would you say that? Why wouldn't you say that? Because it's just a leg, okay? Now, if I was missing an arm, you know, but the rest of me is intact, what would you say? You would look at that and you would say, you would still say it's a body, right? Although my arm is missing, okay? You see a leg, an arm that is separated from the body is not part of the body. It's just a limb. It's out there. In fact, in the New Testament, you see that Christ, he inspires these writers to use several different ways of describing the church. He describes it as a flock. Okay, so what makes up a flock? Many sheep make up that flock. And in order to know who the flock is, that shepherd knows each and every one of his sheep. That's an important example we'll talk about later. But then he also describes it as a building. You wouldn't prop a 2x4 up against the wall and say, that's a nice building right there. No. When everything is put together, it creates that building. So we have the body, the flock, and we have the building. And so this example here declares to us, it teaches us that we have to be plugged in to the body of Christ. We need to be a member of that body. And when all the members are together, it forms the body. And when that body is formed, that's when it can move and it can do the things that a body needs to do, correct? Are you thankful for all of your limbs? I know there are people who don't have some of their limbs, and it makes their life more difficult. I'm thankful that my whole body works. Just in a church, we need each and every member to do their part to work so that this body, Lifeway Church, can move and be active and do the things that God wants her to do. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." So here you have the scattered Hebrews. These are being told to obey your leaders and submit to them. Now, which leaders would you obey and submit to if you don't belong to a church? Who would it be? Who would you obey? Who would you submit to? The guy on the TV? Would you obey and submit to the, you know, this church that you attended this week and over here? Because what will happen is you're going to get some contradictory commands and teachings sometimes. And so in order to obey and submit to the leaders that are over you, you need to belong to a church that has a pastor, elders, leaders who teach God's word clearly. And if you don't belong to a church that, if they don't teach God's word clearly, then you don't need to belong there, do you? Because God's word is what we need to base our life on, and the way we conduct ourselves, we need to base our actions upon God's word. And as it says here, "For they keep watch over you." My job and Pastor Glenn's job is to keep watch over you. And the way we do that is by knowing that you have joined yourself to this body so that we can care for you, so that we can teach you God's word, so that we can weep with you when you weep, so that we can rejoice with you when you rejoice. He goes on, he says this, "For those who will give an account." So it's talking about myself, Glenn, our elders. "We will give an account for you." How can I give an account for someone who isn't involved in this body? I can't. I give an account for those who are members here at Lifeway Church. Glenn gives an account for those who are members at Lifeway Church. Now, are we responsible to go and share the gospel with this, with the world outside? Yes, definitely. And we'll have to give an account as to what we did there. But specifically, the teachings here and your discipleship, your growth, your spiritual growth, it falls on me. It falls on Glenn. It's our job. It's our task. And so if there was not a church membership, we wouldn't know who to give an account for. And you wouldn't know who to submit to. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. It says this. This is a more serious note in regards to church membership. But it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. "For what have I to do with judging outsiders?" Okay, so Paul's talking. He's saying, what do I have to do with judging outsiders? He's saying, I can't judge outsiders. It's not my place. "Do you not judge those who are within the church?" So he asks the question, and then he's going to give them the answer. "But those who are outside, God judges." And then he gives them a command. "Remove the wicked man from among yourselves." Now, this is a tough part of Scripture because it deals with removing someone who was in the church who is doing what is wrong. And for a lot of people, they're like, oh, that's just terrible. We can't do that. It's called church discipline is what it's called. But what you need to know about this situation is this. This man was living in sin. This is basically what was happening, okay? This man was sleeping with his dad's wife. That's what was going on. In the church at Corinth, They were proud that they allowed this to happen. They are proud that this man was doing this because they thought that it showed this great love that they had for all people. But when Paul heard about that, he said, no, that is not what you do. Why? Because one, it's painting a terrible testimony of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for our sins, not that we continue to live in them. He died so that we could be set free from those things. And so this command, remove the wicked man from among yourselves, the reason Paul says that is because the church needs to be pure and holy, set apart to Christ Jesus. Now, let me clarify something right quick. Does that mean that you, like we already addressed, does that mean you have to be perfect to come to church, to be a part of church? No. The difference is this. If you sin, you fail, you fall short, and you go to Jesus Christ and you confess those sins, guess what? You've been forgiven. You've taken care of it. But if you sin, and then you continue to live in that sin, do that sin, and you're proud of that sin, that is the attitude. That is what is wrong. That's the unconfessed sin. That's what needs to be repented of. And so that's what Paul is saying here. And so if there is not a church membership, who are they to, what does it mean to remove him, to put him on the outside? You see, this again proves that there is church membership. Now, let me just say something really quick about this. You know, Paul tells them to remove this wicked man, doesn't he? Seems pretty harsh. In fact, this is what he says. He says, turn him over for the destruction of the flesh. Turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? But you know why they did that? So that they may gain that brother back. Because if you go and you read in 2 Corinthians, guess what happened? Guess what happened? This guy repented and he got right. And then they didn't want to receive him back. And Paul says, he writes and he says, what are you doing? Let him back in. Because he did what was right. Again, this scripture here, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in fact, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians has a lot to do with church theology, teaching us of what church is. And so here again, it proves to us in the New Testament there was church membership. So now that we see, and by the way, this is just a really brief portion of Scripture. If you read the whole New Testament, you can see the evidence for church membership throughout the New Testament. In fact, this could be a 4-week study, a 6-week study, or even maybe an 8-week study. There's so much that you could read about and dive into and discuss. But we've got to move on. So the New Testament does establish that church membership is something that we need to take seriously. So the next question that we're going to answer is, how do I become a member? How do I become a member? So I know that the New Testament says that church membership is important, so how do I become a member? Well, in order to become a member, a person must be saved and baptized just like Scripture says. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, you have Paul, Peter, he is speaking, and this is the day of Pentecost, and this is what he says in verse 38. He says, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to verse 41. It says, so then those who had received his word and were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, and to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so what is happening here? This is the progression that happens in order to be a church member. First, you must be saved. What does it mean to be saved? It means that you have that you know that you're a sinner. You know that that sin separates you from God, so you repent of that sin. You turn away from that and you turn to God. You believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, and then you trust Him for salvation. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I believe You. Please save me. That's trusting Him for salvation. And so, sorry. All right, so you must believe. That is very distracting. I'm so sorry, guys. There's like no good, I guess I should do. All right, so back on track. You must believe. That's the first part. Then you must be baptized. And we already talked about baptism a couple weeks ago. Remember, that is by immersion only according to the New Testament. And it means that you are buried with Him in death and you are raised to walk in newness of life. You're going to make that commitment publicly that you are going to live for Christ. And so when you have, when you're saved and when you have been baptized, at that point, you make a covenant with a local body to join them to learn about Scriptures, to grow in your knowledge, and then for you to go and to make disciples. That's what you see here in verse 42. They continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were soaking it up, getting all of that knowledge. They wanted to know what it was to be a Christian, to be Christ-like. See, at Lifeway, the same is true. Just like it was in the New Testament, that's the way we practice things. You must be saved. You must have scriptural baptism, then you make this promise, this covenant with us to join with us to make disciples. The way we do that is we have a class called 101. 101 is our membership class. In our membership class, we walk through all the things that we believe, and then at the end of it, we have this membership covenant that you get to agree to. And once you agree to that, you have promised, you have covenanted together with us to carry out the Great Commission, to make disciples. So if you want to become a member, you must be saved. You must be baptized by immersion. And then you promise, you covenant with us to do exactly what God's Word says. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You make the promise and you say, hey, I'm going to show up and I'm going to do what God's Word says. And what everybody else has already promised is that we are showing up and we're going to do what God's Word says as well. It puts us together, unified, and doing what God wants us to do. So that's how to become a member. Now, you may ask the question, why should I become a member? Why is this a big deal? What's this matter? I mean, you know, can't I just be just by myself? I don't have to join a church, because if I join a church, that's this commitment. And, oh, I don't do well with commitments. You know, we are millennials. Apparently, right? Remember that on the video, the millennials who just got whatever they wanted. But, yeah, you know, our culture and our society is, you know, we have problems with commitment, don't we? So why should I become a member? Well, simply put this way, it is impossible to be part of the body if you're not joined to it. Remember that? You're just that arm over there flailing about. You're not part of the body. You need to be part of the body, plugged in so the body can work together to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. As we've already discussed, the New Testament is very clear that a person was to be joined to a church so that they could have a faith community to encourage them, to worship with, and to train them to make disciples. That's why you join a church, is so that you can worship together with them. What do we worship? We don't worship the building. We don't worship the pastor. We don't worship the band. We worship God Almighty, because He is the only one worthy of worship. And so we join together to worship, but also to train together, to receive this encouragement from God's Word, to be lifted up by brothers and sisters. Ephesians 5, verse 25, it says this, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." Why is it important to become a member? Because it was important enough for Christ to die for each one of his New Testament churches. There's this relationship that he has with his church in that if he dies for it, it should be important for us. It should be important enough to us to commit ourselves to being a part of a church, to carry out the Great Commission. We'll talk here in just a second about what the Great Commission is. But commitment makes a powerful statement in a low committal culture. It keeps you accountable. What's that look like? Well, it means that there's other people who are going through some of the same situations in life that you are and that I am. And that accountability, it helps us to be able to do the things that God is calling us, to sit there and confess when we have fallen short, but then also receive that encouragement from that person who says, hey, I've been there, but guess what? You know, that there's hope because Jesus Christ is amazing and He will see you through that situation. Keeps us accountable. It knows, it helps us know who we can depend on. And that's a really good feeling when you're part of the body because sometimes you need some people to depend on. Maybe your friends are out, maybe your family's out, but your church family, hopefully they're the type of people who you can depend on. And hopefully you're the type of person that can be depended upon as well. So Lifeway is a place where you can grow spiritually and draw closer to Christ. That is what a church is there to do, to mature you spiritually by the teaching of God's Word, and then also to see you draw closer to Christ and therefore obey His commands. So what's the kind of the bottom line on this part right here? Why should I become a member? Ultimately, you cannot please God without being part of one of His churches. You can't please God. You can do a lot of good stuff. But according to the New Testament, remember, that's what we base our life on, God's Word. According to the New Testament, you cannot please God unless you are part of His body. You're joined with the local church to carry out that Great Commission. Okay, so that's why you should become a member. Now, once you are a member, what should a member do? What should I as a member do? Well, quickly we're going to go through these things. First thing is you should share the responsibilities here at Lifeway Church. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This portion of Scripture is what we call the Great Commission. Okay? It is a declaration of the mission, the purpose of each church. That is our job, our duty. And so when you join with Lifeway, you help us carry out the Great Commission. You help us do what God's Word tells us to do. To go. That means as you're going, you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we do that by the way we live our life, but most of the time we do that by actually speaking up and telling people that Jesus Christ loves them and He died on the cross for their sins. And then it says that we make disciples of all nations. I love that the gospel has no boundaries. It doesn't say make disciples of only Texans. All those would be awesome disciples, right? Bunch of Texans in the room. All right, but it's to go further. Let's go further to all people. Make disciples of every nation. And then we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we teach them to observe all things. What does that teach them to observe all things? It means we teach them God's Word. We teach them everything about what God's Word says. So as a member, you should share in the responsibilities of carrying out the Great Commission. You should protect the unity of Lifeway Church. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6 says, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, our duty as a church is to stay unified. Because if your body is doing opposite things, if you're trying to write with this hand, but this hand over here is erasing it, man, you're fighting against yourself. We must be unified. So we're going to protect the unity of Lifeway Church. Then thirdly, we're going to serve and minister here at Lifeway. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, as each one has received a special gift, employ in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So here we are to join together to serve and minister together with each other, to each other. It's not me, church, where it's all about you. No, we come here so that we can worship Him and make it about someone else besides ourselves. You see, it's a higher calling. It's not that we come here to specifically only grow. Now, that's an important part. We come and we learn from God's Word so that we can grow spiritually. We can mature. However, that's not the only reason that we come. We come so that we can serve and minister to others as well. And if you are coming and you're not serving and ministering to others, really, you're part of that body that's just like, I guess it's that foot or that hand that goes to sleep. You know how annoying that is? You know what I'm talking about. And you just got to kind of shake it and a little pound it down, get that thing woken up. But yeah, maybe that's what happened to some of us. We need to wake up. Maybe we need to get slapped around a little bit. Just teasing. Lastly, we should support the testimony of Lafayette Church. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We are to conduct ourselves. We are to live our lives in such a way that it brings honor and glory to God. That means if there's something that we're doing that does not bring honor and glory to God, we need to fix that. We need to get it right because it is affecting our testimony, but also the testimony of Lifeway Church. If you're out there acting like a heathen on Friday and Saturday, and then you come to church and you tell people, oh yeah, I go to Lifeway Church. Guess what that's doing? It's hurting the testimony of Lifeway Church. We need to do what we can to support the testimony. And lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 says this, on the first day of every week, let each one of you put aside and save as he may prosper, that no collection be made when I come. What is he talking about here? He's talking about the collection for the saints. And so the way we support the testimony of Lifeway Church is we give financially to her. So what's our bottom line? What have we learned from all of this? We've had several questions. What is church? Does the New Testament teach church membership? How do I become a member? Why should I become a member? And what a member should do? So what can we take away? Well, a church is a visible assembly where these people have promised to obey God's commandments together. The New Testament teaches a person who knows Christ will be connected to His body. And making a commitment to Lifeway shows each person here that you are serious in being obedient to Jesus Christ. So, what are your next steps? What are we to take away from this sermon, from God's Word today? Well, you need to commit yourself to Lifeway Church. If you have not committed yourself to Lifeway Church, you haven't been through 101, you haven't promised and made that covenant with us to do what God is telling us to do, if you haven't done that, commit to do that today. Come and talk to me, come and talk to Pastor Glenn, and we will get you plugged in and ready to go with our 101 class. You go through 101, and you learn all about our church, our structure, and all that type of stuff. And then you sign it. You make that covenant with us that you're going to do what God wants you to do here at Lifeway. if you are a member, step up and fulfill your commitment. Maybe you are that foot or that hand that's asleep right now. Well, I just want to encourage you to shake yourself awake and get involved. Because members do have responsibilities. It's clear in the New Testament that these people were involved in serving and ministering to each other and to the people outside their walls. And I want to encourage our membership, if we be the church that people want to promise to be a part of and serve with. You ever thought of it this way? That maybe the reason sometimes people don't want to promise and they don't want to make this covenant with a church is because that church isn't really doing what God wants her to do. So therefore, let's do what God wants us to do. Let's be the church that He calls us to be, so that people will be inspired to make that promise, make that covenant to join with us and do exactly what God's word says. So there's this question that's asked, and it goes like this. Can I be a Christian without joining the church? Answer, yes. It is as possible as being a student who will not go to school, a soldier who will not join an army, a citizen who does not pay taxes or vote, a salesman with no customers, an explorer with no base camp, a seaman on a ship without a crew, a businessman on a deserted island, an author without readers, a tuba player without an orchestra, a parent without a family, a football player without a team, a politician who is a hermit, which would probably be a good thing, a scientist who does not share his findings, and a bee without a hive. So really, the answer is no. No, you can't really be a Christian without being a church member. And that's not based upon what I think. It's based upon what God's word teaches. So maybe there's something that you need to take care of today. As our counselors go to the back, and as we have this opportunity now for you to go and to talk to someone, to share with them some things that you're going through. Maybe you are a member, but there's some problems in your life that you want to get taken care of because you want to be that member who serves and does what God wants them to do. Well, go and seek counsel, pray, or you can find me right after church and I will gladly pray with you. But if you are here and you've been here for a while, you've been coming, but you haven't joined up with us, you haven't made that promise, that covenant to live according to God's word together with this group of people, I want to encourage you to do that. Don't be scared. Don't sit there and make excuses. Do what God's word teaches us, the example that it has set forth. Make that covenant, make that promise together with us so that we can be the body of Christ that God wants us to be here at Lifeway. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for sending your Son, Christ Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. We also thank you so much for the fact that Christ gave himself up for his church, his churches in each of our location. I'm so thankful for Lifeway Church, the fact that we are here to teach God's word, but not just that, we're here to love on each other, to serve each other, to minister to each other, and to carry the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world outside these walls. I'm thankful that our church does that. And I pray that if there's anyone here today who hasn't joined up, who hasn't made that covenant, that they will. They'll get involved and be a part of something bigger than themselves. Because we know that your church, Lord, it goes to bring you honor and glory. And in your church, barriers and all this other stuff fall away. There's people from all different kinds of walks of life who come here, meet together, unified to worship you, to learn from your word, and then to carry your word to the world that needs it desperately right now. So I pray and ask that you would please move in people's lives as you would have them to, and that they will obey whatever your will is. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Faith Foundations. The foundation is the most important part of any structure. In fact, I'm having a house built right now, and I got to walk out and stand upon the foundation.
Yep.
I measured it to check to make sure everything is right, because if it's not right, the rest of the house can be really messed up. The Bible speaks about foundations, doesn't it, Glenn?
It does, Kyle. It says a story of a man who built on a sandy foundation, a rocky foundation, and then a solid foundation. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus is the solid foundation. Our faith in Christ is the foundation of everything we believe. And everything we'll do in this series will start with the foundation of Jesus Christ, and then we'll build on it with the truths that are taught in the New Testament. So join us here on campus at 9 and 10:30 every Sunday.
And download our app for more information. We hope you have a great week. God bless. Be safe out there.
Bye.